If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, folks, you are listening to Planet Porky, and I am delighted to welcome you back. I'm delighted also to be in the company of Ben Fletcher. Ben, welcome.
Thank you for having me again.
Thank you very much indeed for joining me. I have to say, the last time you and I got together, we sold you as Ben the Arrow Fletcher, Ben the Archer Fletcher, and your reputation has now been completely destroyed by working with me on Planet Porky, but nevertheless, some fantastic feedback.
Well, that's the most important thing. Never mind career, never mind mortgage, never mind family. It's all about likes on Twitter. So that's why I'm here, and that's what I'm all about. So thanks for having me back, Mike.
Well, it's great to have you back. Thank you very much indeed, because you know, we're trying to establish Planet Porky as a podcast that people will turn to, and to make Planet Porky great, I've got to have some great broadcasting partners, yourself, Leslie Ann Jones, of course, Josh the comedian, and I hope others, and I hope we can build an army and all go forward together. Thank you very much. Okay, folks, I want to tell you about HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the UK's leading recipe box service, delivering fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. It's the easy, convenient way to cook delicious dinners from scratch every time. Choose your recipes from 19 favourites every week. Yes, that's 19 favourites every week, including rapid recipes ready in 20 minutes or less. Family favourites, British and world cuisine, and even a balanced range, under 600 calories, right? And because all our ingredients come direct from our suppliers, pre-portioned for you, there's no food waste. Now, what can I tell you about what I have enjoyed from HelloFresh? What about sweet and sour style chicken with cracked bulgur wheat and red pepper? Pork and apple burger with rosemary wedges and rocket salad? Asian style beef with zesty jasmine rice. That's right, you'd heard all that right, okay? Now, HelloFresh provides family-friendly dishes. Your kids are going to love it. Cooking together with the family. No meal planning, no shopping, no fuss dinners. Did you know most households stick to an average of only 6 recipes during their eating cycle? But here, as I've told you, you have 19. It's the spice of variety. And HelloFresh has a totally flexible subscription plan with no minimum term, so you can skip weeks, change box size and delivery addresses to suit your life and your movements within your lifestyle. Enjoy delicious moments with HelloFresh. Head to hellofresh.co.uk, choose a box, a delivery slot, and add your favourite recipes, delicious dinners from scratch. HelloFresh are offering our listeners £60 off, okay? This is the offer, £60 off. That's made up of £15 off your first 4 boxes, okay? Visit www.hellofresh.co.uk and enter the code PLANETPORKY at the checkout to enjoy delicious dinners without the drama. Let me repeat that for you one more time. HelloFresh are offering our listeners £60 off. That's £15 off your first 4 boxes. Visit www.hellofresh.co.uk and enter the code PLANETPORKY at the checkout to enjoy delicious dinners without the drama. Now, one thing I want to talk to you about, because it's so current, is the, you know, probably the greatest English cricketer since Ian Botham, that's Ben Stokes, okay?
Yeah, very much.
But I don't want to just pile in again on adulation. What nobody seems to have focused on, Ben, is that if the trial in which he was involved a year ago had gone wrong, he could actually have been in jail when this current series took place and when the World Cup took place. Why are people focusing on the fact that, you know, by fate taking, you know, a twist in his life, he could have been languishing in jail. He's now, the without a shadow of a doubt, the individual national English hero.
I think that just goes to show how much that sport and football is the same, rugby is the same. We call them sliding doors moments. You remember the film in the late 1990s with Gwyneth Paltrow, how one, you know, event, and in that event, it was in that film, it was missing a tube train, something quite innocuous. We've all missed trains, we've all missed buses. As it turned out in that film, it was you know, the difference between a woman's life going one way or another, and hashtag spoiler alert, whether or not she even lived. As far as Ben Stokes goes, yeah, it just goes to show how. And we'll come on to the game of cricket he was involved in a minute, because again, there was a moment in that which could have gone a different way. England could have lost there. Joe Root could have lost the captaincy. But you're absolutely right. You know, an event in this young man's life which was unsavoury, which raised a lot of question marks at the time.
Well, he got fined £15,000 by the cricket authorities.
He did. And by virtue of being involved in something like that, obviously, you know, found not guilty in a court of law.
Yeah.
But he was nonetheless involved in something which wasn't becoming of the then, and he is now again the England vice captain, and many people think a replacement for Joe Root when the time comes.
Yeah.
But in terms of what went on, yeah, very much so. But listen, we often say in sport we like characters.
Yes.
And we like people like Ian Botham and many, many parallels between Ben Stokes and Sir Ian Botham.
Yeah.
People who are that little bit cheeky, little bit close to the knuckle sometimes.
Well, do you think that genius carries a caveat with it?
Very much so. Yeah. I very much believe in flawed genius. Very much. I mean, look at some of the great musical greats over the years. I mean, George Michael, one of the greatest singer-songwriters this country has probably ever produced.
Yes.
And if there was a poll between him and Elton John being the best that Britain has ever produced, I should think it'd be very close.
John Lennon personally, but I was thinking
more pop, but yeah, John Lennon, of course, would be in a league of his own, you would argue.
Yes.
But yeah, there is that flawed genius, and it's almost like you're so good at something, it almost becomes too easy. And you saw the way that Ben, not to get too sporty on Planet Porky, but the way he batted on that fourth day at Headingley,
but to me, with disdain. But that went way beyond a sporting achievement. It went way beyond a batsman at a crease. Mm. I mean, the sheer pressure on him, one mistake in those last 78 runs, and it would have all been over for English. I mean, how he managed to concentrate. You know what it's like? It's almost like a heavyweight boxer taking his eye off the gloves of his opponent for 1/10 of a second, bang, and you're gone. You know what I mean? The concentration factor must have been enormous.
Oh, the test cricket is exactly that. It's a mental test. Like the boxing's a great analogy. You blink for 1 second or at the wrong time and you've had it. You're on the canvas, you're out for 10. But it's superhuman. But sport is very much like that. And I'm not saying the reason that Ben Stokes was caught up in that incident, the Bristol affair, they call it, way back when, was because he's a flawed genius. That was, I think, a case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
I think he got very drunk and he's admitted that. You see, if I was still running a newspaper, and I used to, I'd have gone over that trial all over again. Mm. Nobody was found guilty of any crime, quite rightly, because it went before a jury. Therefore, the jury examined the facts and came to the conclusion, which was right, and it was good. But, you know, that was, as you quite rightly have just described, an unsavoury incident. People ended up with injuries to their face, ended up on the floor. Other people threw blows, and there was physical violence. But how all I'm saying is, the sliding doors moment you're talking about, he could literally be in jail now. And I've had moments like that in my life. I've got down on my knees and thought, I can't believe, and I'm not saying for one minute that Ben Stokes was guilty of anything, but in my own life, I've said, thank God I got away with that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, we all have. I think we've all had brushes either with the law. I was in Richmond many years ago in Surrey, and a few drinks had been consumed with me and university friends.
Yeah.
And I said good evening to a police officer, and he ignored me. He was well within sight. Oh, evening, officer.
Yeah.
He sat in a police car, and he just completely ignored me. There's no way he didn't hear me. He didn't have a radio on. He just looked straight ahead, and I said word to the effect of under my breath, oh, you've been well heard that, you something, right?
Yeah.
And as you would expect, he got up out of his car, he came up to me.
Yeah, you're a clever one.
And he went, oh, yeah. He said, don't ruin your night. He said, anything you want to say to me? I said, I'm sorry. I was just saying good evening. You ignored me. Mm. And suffice to say, it ended without incident. I was taught a very valuable lesson. Yeah. He was very merciful. But that could have been a trip to the cells. That could have escalated into something.
I totally agree.
And I look back at the age of... I was 21 at the time, and I thought, you idiot, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Ben Stokes will look back on that incident, I'm absolutely convinced, and think, right, okay, I was proven not guilty.
Yeah.
My life goes on. He has been and will be one of the greatest sportsmen, not just cricketers, that England's ever produced, but very much a sliding doors moment.
Yeah.
And it's been written in the press this week, and I've heard podcasts and on the radio and seen on TV, a defining moment in that young man's career, because let's say it had gone the other way, what would have happened to his career afterwards?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you see sportsmen all the time, sort of things happen to them, they end up in prison, or things happen to them.
Mike Tyson is a perfect example.
Exactly that, and they come back, or they disappear into obscurity. Yeah. Now, Ben Stokes, huge talent, absolute prodigy when it comes to the bat and the ball.
Yes.
But it could have gone very, very differently. Thank God it didn't, and quite right.
And didn't he have a sliding doors moment in the final of the World Cup when the fielder, the Australian fielder, threw a ball so accurately that it was going for the wicket till it hit his bat and went out for four?
Exactly.
Have you ever seen that happen
Unbelievable.
Before?
Unbelievable. And Ben Stokes actually turned around the umpire and said there's no way that can count, surely.
Yeah.
And he had another sliding doors moment on the fourth day at Headingley when his name will come to me in a moment, dropped the run out.
That's right, yeah.
Mason, it'll come to me in a second.
Was it was that the catch on the boundary?
Yeah, no. This was the run out. So Jack Leach was about to get run out.
Yeah, he did. He spilt it.
Yeah,
the
he spilt it.
Standing over the bales, could have put the ball on the bales and got him out. And he, in football parlance, what goalkeepers do, he just spilt the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
And they are. But look, I tell you what, as we're just talking about sporting legends and allegations of misbehaviour, what do you make of the Wayne Rooney situation? Because the latest...
Which particular one would that be over the course of the last 15 years?
Exactly, but just to refresh the memories of our listeners, right. The latest with Wayne Rooney is he's playing for Washington, D.C., and it's a USA and Canada league he plays in, and they go to Vancouver. Vancouver's one of the world's great cities.
You've been there? You work there?
It's absolutely fantastic. I went to a Bill Clinton and Yeltsin summit, international summit there. It's the most beautiful city, Vancouver, because it's all built on lakes and water and pine forest trees stretching as far as the eye can see. Beautiful, clear air and all that kind of thing. It's the Canadian dream. You know, you see people honestly, literally canoeing around in Mohican-style canoes and all that kind of stuff, But he goes there. They play their game. Boys go out for a few drinks afterwards. And the allegation is, reported in newspapers, got into the company of a few girls and, ended up back at a hotel. The only thing we know is they're in the lobby and they were near a lift, okay? That's as much as we know. But nevertheless, Wayne Rooney has been lacking in caution, I think, in the way he celebrates things after a football match, to the detriment of his reputation as a husband and a father.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And there's no smoke without fire. He's been in this situation before, hasn't he?
Yes.
And he was sat on the bed with the escort, and there were stories about he thought about his wife and kids. Yeah. And this is going back a few years now.
It is.
And it's all been remedied. But you think in those sorts of scenarios. It was Nathan Lyon, by the way. The Aussie bowler, Nathan Lyon, that was going to wind me up.
Yeah.
It was gnawing away at my brain. Nathan Lyon, couldn't happen a nicer bloke here dropping that catch. But anyway.
Yeah. So the leading question from me to you here is that the behaviour of a bloke who can come back to this country and be a coach to young people at Derby County?
It's a question of what do you expect from sportsmen? And I say sportsmen and not sportsmen and women, because I cannot think of any sportswomen off the top of my head who are involved in so many controversies when it comes to like their sex lives, marriages and that type of thing.
No.
I cannot think of a single sportswoman who has been involved in affairs or...
No, I totally agree. You're absolutely right.
It's very much a
Serena
male thing.
Serena Williams sometimes for, outrageously loud behaviour.
But on court...
Who's the Russian lady who got banned for the drug that she said she'd taken by mistake?
The tennis player, Sharapova.
Sharapova won Wimbledon at 17.
Yeah.
I didn't realise she won Wimbledon at 17 by beating Williams and hasn't hasn't beaten her since in 15 years. Isn't that incredible?
It is remarkable. So I mean, the point I'm getting to it is, I guess, it's sort of testosterone. I think it's a lot of it, and I'm not making excuses, but it's testosterone in the veins. It's a very, very male thing.
Yes.
And I'll give an example. So when I order a takeaway over the weekend, I'd like to go and have a pint beforehand, and I'll stand in the pub, I'll survey the pub, I'll have a chat with the landlord about what's going on.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I have that moment of peace and quiet. It's half an hour. I go home. I carry on with my domestic life. My missus doesn't like doing that. You know, for her, it's like, why would I want to go out on my own? She doesn't see the sort of the freedom that I see. The kind of I don't mean freedom from her before I get in trouble with
no,
her.
No, I agree.
But it's that kind of. She was like, why do I want to do that? But guys, it's very much. I think you get some guys, and maybe it's the competitive element.
Yeah.
What can I get away with? No one will ever find out. Well, you know, and maybe a sense of entitlement as well with all the money's made.
Well, maybe. But I also there's that freedom moment right now. Yeah. Wayne Rooney grew up on a place called Croxteth. It's social house estate, Liverpool, and that kind of stuff. And from what I understand, because I've been a Wayne Rooney fan, obviously, since I first saw him play when he was 14, he believes, really, almost in existentialism, that his behaviour shouldn't be questioned because he's earned the right to behave as he wishes. You know, he's one of the most successful ever English footballers. He's one of the wealthiest sportsmen in this country, albeit he works in America.
Mm.
He's just had a £20 million house built, which provides for his family and his four sons. There's some talk that his wife wants to have another baby to see if she can get a daughter. So highly domesticated and all that. But my view of Wayne Rooney is that it's almost like, you know, I have the right to behave as I wish. Now, years ago, many, many years ago, in fact, when I was a teenager, I went on holiday with my girlfriend at the time, who I'd been going out with since I was 16, so about 2 years. And in my first car, Vauxhall Viva, drove down to St Ives and all that shit. So, one, and we had a flat, you know, and every morning we'd get up and have some breakfast and we'd go to the beach and then come out and then go to a nightclub at the nights and all that. And one evening, on the way back, I said, you're going and start the dinner. I'm just going to get a newspaper. I was, you know, I've been a newspaper fan all my life. And even then, I was working on the Chester Chronicle. I wanted a copy of the local evening newspaper. So I went and got the newspaper. And on the way back up the hill, there's a pub. And I thought, I know, I'll go in here and read this paper over a pint of ale. I probably had two. I was probably 20 or 25 minutes.
Yeah.
When I got back to the flat, I mean, it had this most enormous row. You know, where have you been? And I said, what do you mean? I said, I went to get the newspaper. It doesn't take you 25 minutes to get a newspaper, half an hour or something, you know. I said, no. I said, I got the newspaper. I said, and I wanted to read the newspaper. I said, and I came back in. I'm talking to you. I can't concentrate. I just want to see. So I went in the pub and I had a couple of drinks. You know, you don't want me. You know, you don't want me for company and all that. I mean, we were very young. We were sort of 18, 19 years of age. But that is the individualism that I crave as a male. So I don't know whether Wayne Rooney does.
Well, maybe it's the same sort of thing, but at a different level. I mean, it sounds to me like you dodged a bit of a bunny boiler there, if you don't mind me saying, because, I mean...
Well, I mean, that's a bit kind. We went out to get together for 4 years altogether.
Oh, okay.
And was the love of my life. But, funny enough, you should say that, I realised that if I was going to progress in life, I had to do it without the incumbent. That's all I can say. Without I'm not going to say baggage, that sounds rude, but I had to be able to move very quickly and freely wherever I could.
A bit like James Bond.
A bit like James Bond.
A girl in every port, that type of thing.
Well, no,
did
I didn't
you have
want
a girl in every port?
No, I didn't want a girl in every port. What I wanted was the freedom to make decisions because I wanted to accelerate my career as quickly as possible. And I knew already from working on a weekly paper in Chester where some guys were in their 30s, married, settled down, semi-detached house, Ford Escort car. They had no chance of ever going anywhere else because they had too much domestic baggage.
Well, that's the thing. You reach that point. I mean, I'm married with two kids, and I appreciate that people often say to me, there's a radio station and indeed an industry up in Manchester, which recently made the move up from London. And people often say, do you ever want to work for them? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to uproot my family. Very happy where I am doing what I'm doing on the TalkSport network. But if I was a single man, I could work anywhere in the world. I still harbour desires of working in the States one day, as Mr. Rooney did.
Yeah.
I still harbour desires of going, having that kind of long weekend of work and getting away in the freedom. And I think it can get to your head because ultimately, and I don't know, maybe women have the same viewpoint, I'm not sure, but if you have absolute freedom and if you know, for example, like in Wayne Rooney's case and others, I'm fair to single him out, if you go on a work trip, right, or a work do or a stag do, and you have absolute confidence that you can get away with whatever you want, infidelity, drinking, you know, drugs, whatever it might be, if you can get away with it and you can deal with it being on your conscience, who's ever going to find out? And a lot of sportsmen, and again, I picked the word carefully, men, not women, because you don't ever read controversial stories about sportswomen. It always tends to be blokes, and it tends to be Premier League footballers and rugby players as well, to a degree, and indeed any sport. It's that kind of freedom, realisation that you can do whatever you want, and not being able to cope with it very well. But again, sorry to interrupt you, right? Wayne Rooney, I'm a huge fan of Wayne Rooney. I'm delighted that he's come back to the Championship. I think I'm intrigued to see what he can do as a coach. He might even play a little bit for Derby next season. But we talk about footballers being role models, and what are the kids going to think about this, that and the other? Do you know something? I've got two young sons, 3 and 1. If they grow up idolising footballers for what they do off the pitch, then I failed as a parent. Idolise them on the pitch. Love their football. Get the, if you really want to get your hair cut the same way, like Beckham in the early noughties, like Gazza with his bleached hair and the dyed black hair when he played for Rangers and that type of thing, that's a separate issue. But when it comes to following monkey see, monkey do, don't do as they do. Just that for me, I think, would be a parental failure. Not enough people do believe that.
Okay, and we can't finish this this particular slot talking about sportsmen behaviour and all that without referring to a mutual mate of ours, Ray Parler. I'm loving the way Ray is reinventing his social life at the moment, aren't you?
The way he's going,
it's fantastic.
It's great. The latest video I've seen of him dancing and singing and drinking
and taking shots with young ladies in very skimpy bikinis.
I think if I didn't know, but if a good man indeed, I didn't know better, I'd be convinced he was advertising his services for something like Love Island. You can see it, couldn't you? Because he's in good nick. I mean, we both know Ray very well. He comes in, and you think, you know, a man that consumes what he consumes.
He doesn't put an ounce of weight on, does he?
Seen more meat on a butcher's pencil, as my old man might have said.
Exactly. And his three latest videos, one of them staggering around Waitrose with Mr. Brazil, got about 600,000 hits, one from Cheltenham, when they were up at Cheltenham. But his latest one, I've seen with this line of beautiful young ladies, and they're all drinking shots, and I say, good on Ray Parler.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right, OK, folks, you are listening to Planet Porky. Thank you for joining us. It's myself, the Porkmeister, with Ben Fletcher. Ben, welcome back again, mate. Now, been talking about sports stars. I want to now turn to royalty, okay?
OK.
Now, I don't know what's happened to Prince Harry. Prince Harry used to be our favourite royal. Prince Harry used to be the guy who went and fought for his country, smuggled him out to Iraq, you know, flying helicopters, all that kind of stuff, a true sort of patriot and really wanted to be his own man. Now, his life has changed because he's married Meghan Markle, and she's had a very specific influence on his life, and he now seems to have other values. In fact, I think it's only in the last 24 hours, isn't it, that the charity that was once supported by the Dukes of Sussex and Cambridge and their wives has now been separated, I think, hasn't it?
I think so, perhaps.
It has. I think they now decide to go each their own ways. That's fine. But the most recent row about Harry was taking four trips on private jets after expounding the virtue of, you know, save the earth and all that kind of stuff, which will have racked up carbon, and Elton John getting involved and saying, oh, don't worry, I'll pay their carbon footprint. What is a carbon footprint? And how do you offset a carbon footprint?
Well, the carbon footprint, first of all, is the idea that whenever you travel around the world, you generate a certain amount of carbon. If you board a flight, and you see these pictures of actual footprints, and the darker the grey, the more of an impact you have on the planet.
Yep.
It's absolute rubbish. Mm. The plane's always going to go, whether you're on it or not. If not you, it'll be somebody else. If it's not your baggage, it'll be somebody else's suitcases and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the idea that you can offset it by paying money to a charity is like some sort of medieval middle age, let's pay the church pennies to ensure we get into heaven. It's an absolute myth. It's not going to save
totally
the environment.
Agree.
It's not going to save the environment.
I totally
if you
agree.
Cared that much about saving the environment, I'm not a fan of this Greta Thunberg and this ridiculous odyssey she had across the Atlantic to New York. That's a story for another day.
Is proving what we all know. If we follow those sort of mad policies, we go back to medieval economic structures.
Exactly.
Because if it takes 2 weeks to get across the Atlantic, we ain't going to do a lot of international trade.
I absolutely agree. But one thing I will say is, at least she has gone about, if she's that bothered about carbon offset and that type of thing,
yeah.
by going across the ocean on a boat, which presumably is low powered, she's causing less of a problem.
It's powered by wind, except for a motor they'll switch on in emergencies.
Exactly. What constitutes an emergency? We're running a bit behind here. Let's flip the engine on for 2.5 days or so. It's an absolute myth. I mean, you imagine it was, let's pay money to the church in the 1500s, the 1600s. I forget what the word was. It was there was a word for it. Was it a dowage or something? You'd pay it to the church.
Wasn't it alms?
Yeah, that was it. Alms. And that guarantees your place in heaven.
Mm.
It's madness. But this is why you and I spoke about this a little bit before, I think, the last time I was with you on Planet Porky. And this is the reason that people don't listen to climate change enthusiasts or extremists.
No.
Because it's just a total load of nonsense.
But the way I can work it out is that Elton John says, oh, don't worry, because I'll buy a bit of land and plant a few trees. Those trees won't even be operable for about 15 years to get involved in the process of turning carbon dioxide back into oxygen.
Yeah.
Photosynthesis, that's called, isn't it, or something like that. Yeah. But the latest mad scheme I've seen is that rich... And by the way, only rich people can afford this. Normal people can't afford to buy fields and plant trees, right, when they go on a jet holiday on, you know, EasyJet or something to the oil. But this latest mad scheme which I've come across is you buy a bit of what's it called?
Charcoal.
You buy a bit of charcoal off a bloke who's got a pit. Basically, it's like a little valley at the bottom of his garden, and he hides the charcoal down the pit. And you say, well, what on earth is all this about? It's very difficult to work out, but apparently, charcoal is what trees turn into and then turns into coal. So apparently, by taking this bit of charcoal and removing it from the general array of life and the general economy and hiding it away, it can never be used as coal.
This is the argument that if left to rot, a dead tree or a dead plant will over time release quite a lot of CO2 into the atmosphere. The same sort of damage you'd cause if you had a barbecue, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
So they bury it underground. The issue I have with this is... we're already running out of landfill. We're already trying to recycle.
Yeah.
We're running out of space for our rubbish. Why are we now chucking charcoal underground?
I don't know.
I mean, the way to solve this is to, I think, add a bank holiday to the system in this country. End of August, maybe have it around a royal birthday or a sporting achievement. Have one barbecue day, get rid of all the dead trees, get rid of all the charcoal, and that will solve the problem. Why would you bury charcoal?
Mm.
That just seems daft to me.
No, I think it's absolutely mad. There are some really mad theories in life. One I've come across, by the way, is the starvation diet. And no,
well, that's one way of losing weight, isn't it?
It's certainly one way of losing weight, absolutely. But no, I actually saw this in one of my medical journals. What you do is you don't eat for 24 hours, right? And what that does is your body then actually starts regurgitating itself, if you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And getting rid of all the poisons in your body. Now, I think this is quite a good idea. I do a bit more television these days than I used to. And because
that's been noted, by the way.
Sorry?
That's been noted.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much indeed. Yes, well, you know. And
been to the gym?
Have my head. And no, don't go to the gym, no. But I for years, I've never eaten before I've gone on air on radio or anything else because I don't feel I can breathe properly. But this idea of not eating for 24 hours before you, it completely neutralises your body.
Mm.
I mean, none of us... Because you and I work very strange times, you know, you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're travelling by 4:30 and all that... You have to actually have to organise your day before to make sure that your day ahead is going to fall into place and that, you know, you're not going to have to, you know, I don't know, just rearrange your life, eating times, all that kind of stuff, right? But this one I've seen is we'll just give it all up for 24 hours before you do a bit of telly. And apparently it works and I'm going to give it a try because... Already I don't drink for 24 hours before I do a bit of television because it makes your face puffy, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And television's very unkind like that, you know what I mean? But I'm going to try the starvation bit because I do believe... There's another tip, by the way, for all those people who are thinking about diet and all that. And it's only come out this morning about drinking red wine. Have you seen that?
No, what was that? Red wine's good for you, isn't it? Glass and a half a day?
Red wine's very good for you. It's apparently... neutralizes, you know, lots of things in your body. Apparently, we all have, and I'm sure we've seen this before because there's been loads of ads about it, don't we have good bacteria and bad bacteria?
We do, very much, yeah.
And I think it's the bad bacteria that will benefit from you drinking a glass of red wine a day or two glasses of red wine. So if I drink anything now before I work, I do get into the old red wine. Now, there's other lifestyle things here, which, I mean, I just can't get my head around, Ben. You might be able to.
Do you
know what a gong bath is?
A gong bath?
Yeah, I'm going to show you this. Let me show you.
So you show me a picture of a woman with very colourful hair laying down, and there's a gentleman above her dressed all in white, and it looks like she's about to bang a gong. So I can only assume that she's asleep and she needs an alarm
clock. Well,
she's
not even asleep. I mean, now, this is done at businesses, right? Now, we all work for businesses. We know that businesses get more progressive about how they treat their workforce and try to give them more benefits and all that. We've seen it in the offices we work in, you know,
very
decaffeinated
much.
Coffee if you want it. And
waste of time, by the way.
Yeah, well, that in my view as well. And, you know, more comfortable chairs for your back and all that. That's all very good. Look after your staff. But it goes mad. And this gong bath, you lie down, you know, on a sofa, and a bloke stands next to you with a gong and bangs the gong continuously for 30 minutes. And that is supposed to represent, like, waves, you know, if you're lying near the shore or something like that. But, I mean, to me, it's all just complete and absolute blinking nuts, you know. And I don't go for these things, because what they do is, if you start encouraging people to believe in all this wacko, and I mean really wacko stuff, what you're doing is you are chucking common sense out of the window.
Oh, very much.
And I mean, why do so many of us fall for all these ridiculous bum theories these days?
I'll tell you why, firstly, because because you get celebrities, and I think I saw that Charlize Theron, Robert Downey Jr., a lot of these Hollywood actors and actresses are into these mad things, probably because they're that bored between films and they've got that much money.
That's a great idea. They can have everything they want in life.
So what I thought we'd do, we'll get a guy to bang a gong continuously, and if I don't get up and strangle him because the noise is doing my head in, maybe it'll send me to some sort of nirvana.
Yeah.
Now, white noise I get, I've got two young sons, as I've mentioned many times before, and white noise is something that at bedtime, it's like the sound of a mother's womb. It's just like static. Remember the old school telly?
What was white noise?
You remember when you used to have an old school telly, the...
Yeah, it's that basically. Turning on an old radio in
the
30s.
That's exactly that type of thing. And it's like a constant noise. It makes the baby think of the womb. Grown-ups use it as well. If I need to sleep during the day and it's hot and there's a lot going on, I'll put white noise on.
Really? Just,
yeah, it blocks everything out.
Where do you find white noise?
You can get apps on your phone. You can get videos off the internet, which is just a continuous stream of noise. Mm. It does help, right? Mm. But that makes sense to me because that's generating a constant sound of waves. You can have the sound of shushing. Babies love being shushed and having their bottoms patted.
Right.
Same idea. But the idea of a gong being banged for 30 seconds. If somebody did that to me, I would assume that I was under attack. I'd grab the nearest thing and kosh whoever it was.
Yeah.
Because that's the only logical conclusion I could come to.
Yeah.
Relaxation, do me a favour.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I've got back to the immune thing now, the food thing, the starvation, right? I found this in my medical journal.
Go on. That must be one big journal, by the way.
Yeah, it is a big journal, yeah. It's research by a guy called Walter Longo of the University of Southern California. Everybody, by the way, in California is fucking mad. You know that,
I've never been to California. I'd love to.
Everybody in California is off their rocker. They do things like, as you quite rightly said, you know, very rich people get bored. So instead of going to get a dog, they get a rock. And they put a lead on a rock and drag it round Rodeo Drive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people will stop and ask each other about their rocks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because of that board. get a real job, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm sure there's a Starbucks that'd take you on or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Well, I think I've told you before, if I haven't, I've certainly told an audience before, about the... I went over to California to do a case of two English doctors, right?
I think I know this story.
It's about lamb's urine, you know. But these guys were a pair of con men, and they weren't very good at what they did. They weren't even proper doctors. They just went for all these mad... And they decided that to sell a mad theory, why don't we find the maddest people in the world? And the maddest people are in California. So they go over to California, set up a clinic, called it something like, you know, the
New Age, New Woolen Age.
Or, you know, revolutionary, you know, I don't know, urinated...
Golden raindrops.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And all these mad Californian women, they've got much more money than sense, and whose husbands are very happy to get rid of them for a day, send them to the urine clinic. And these doctors started injecting them with lamb's urine. And doctoring the pictures to show the before and after.
So that's insane.
So a week after they had the injection, the doctors had, you know, doctors had doctored, they weren't even doctors,
yeah.
doctored the pictures to make him look younger. They were running around saying, don't I look great, and all this. So anyway, then one of the doctors thought...
What must they smell like? Sorry, carry on. Carry
well,
on.
I have no idea. I mean, I would have thought it's quite dangerous to inject water into your blood system anyway.
Yeah,
you know, you get the bends
urine.
Or something. Yeah, urine. But anyway, so... One of the doctors decided that he was, you know, a lot more influential than the other. It was really nice. So he tried to take more of the money. The other doctor objected. They fell out. And then one of them tried to kill the other. But he you know...
With lamb's urine?
No, not lamb's urine. They tried to shoot him, you know. But it was one of these, you know, in the middle of the night and mist and all that kind of stuff. And it was a trial. It was a sensational trial. And Dr. One went down for 10 years for trying to kill Dr. Two. Never, of course, were they ever heard of again because some other mad thing in California would have come forward and done it. You know what I mean?
Story.
But
it serves to show that people will believe anything they want to believe.
Oh, they will.
I mean, the idea, I mean, even now, you look at smoking, it can't be... People said back in the 1930s up to the 60s, oh, we didn't realise smoking was bad for us. Like, use your brain. Breathing in smoke's not bad for you, right? It can't be good for you, sorry.
Unbelievable.
And the idea that injecting lamb's urine into your bloodstream
would help you.
But
that smoking thing, I mean, people like Ronald Reagan used to appear in smoking adverts, you know, and if you had a Marlboro, it was, you know, the macho man cigarette. And doctors still claim to this day, up till about 1960, doctors said there was no physical link between lung cancer and smoking.
It's insane, isn't it?
I mean, it's like saying there's no physical link between hitting yourself on the head with a mallet and a fractured skull.
Yeah.
And
serious brain damage.
Yeah.
But the difference is, like, smoking back then, I mean, now, when you look at the situation that we're in, I mean, we're in central London, there are a lot of pubs near us, and if you walk on a summer's day through Bedford Street, Maiden Lane, wherever you might be in central London, you get people smoking outside.
Yes.
Like, smokers have been sent out, and they're not allowed in pubs or restaurants or public places
or
cars or anywhere. And it's sort of being outlawed. And you look at cigarette stands in supermarkets, news agents, they're all covered up. There's no branding anywhere. We don't get the Benson and Hedges Cup in the cricket or branding on F1 cars. Back then, and in living memory for some people listening to Planet Porky today, smoking was as commonplace as drinking.
Yes.
And now, and you hear people now saying that they've given up the drink and they've never felt less British.
Yeah.
But drinking is, okay, has its issues, obviously, it was, if you didn't smoke, that was almost like an eyebrow raiser.
Yes.
Way back when.
Yes,
everybody smoked. In the same way that you would argue, everybody still drinks.
I used to work on a news desk in Birmingham, on the Birmingham Evening Mail, and... everybody around that desk smoked. And the secretaries, every half hour, had to come and empty the ashtrays. I mean, they had to because they were getting so full because it was seen to be a stressful occupation.
Mm.
And even newspaper has 4 or 5 deadlines. Used to, doesn't now.
No.
They just have one a day in the Evening Standard in London, where we are now. But we had a paper in Birmingham, 4 or 5 deadlines a day, and it was a highly stressful, terribly motivating, by the way. I mean, brilliant sort of atmosphere to be in, you know, next edition, you know, update the edition, all that. And you did literally smoke all the time, and everybody smoked. If you didn't
smoke... Did you smoke as well?
Yeah, I did,
How many a day do you reckon you were smoking?
Well, it's quite interesting. I didn't smoke when I got to Birmingham, but I, you know, got together with the lad there. He'd arrived the same time, about the same age. He smoked 80 a day.
80 a day?
Yeah, his name is Ian Sangster, right? And Sangy, who I have spoken to about before my audience, is the lad who died of the aneurysm in the back of his head.
I remember telling me,
when he was 45. Now,
was he with his wife having a bottle of wine or something?
He came out of the shower, went into the kitchen, had a glass of whiskey in his hand. Girlfriend was making the spaghetti bolognese. He just fell backwards, bang, dead. And they thought at first that he'd been killed by banging his head. He had an aneurysm burst in the back. Now, we'll never know if the aneurysm was brought on by his smoking, but it's not good to smoke 80 cigarettes a day. I mean, he couldn't function in the morning when he woke up without reaching out to his bedside table. And, I mean, his flat was revolting. In every room, there was an ashtray piled high with cigarette butts. You know what I mean?
It's not healthy, is it?
No, but he would reach out in the morning, and it was almost like an alcoholic needing a quick shot of whiskey to get going in the morning. You know, he literally was like that. Smoked all the time, and eventually, one night said to me in a pub, you know, come on, try one. And I did, and I then, for some unknown reason, got into smoking menthol cigarettes called Sam Moritz.
Yeah, yeah.
Which were terribly posh in those days. Very expensive as well, you know. And then suddenly gone on Benson Hedges. I did smoke for a while, but my great strength, And somebody said this to me once, was, if I could smoke like you, Mike, I would. Because I could go out for an evening, having had a cigarette all day, have a few drinks, and then sit down for dinner, and then have 10 cigarettes for the rest of the evening, and then not have another cigarette for 2 or 3 days. Perfect. I wasn't nicotine, you know, what's the word?
An addict.
And do it like that. Just from my medical journals, just before we finish, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today, Ben. Thank you very much indeed. How about this one here, right? So this is a very, very eminent dentist. His name is Roger Linden, Emeritus Professor of Craniofacial Biology at King's College London. And he's written a book about his experiences. And here's an early example. This guy's now in his 70s, so it's 50 years ago. And he says, when I was training to be a dental surgeon more than 50 years ago, a patient with a full set of false teeth came in and asked us, that's the department I was working in with teeth, you know, craniofacial biology, to make an exact copy of his wife's dentures. We said, why would you want us to do that? He said, well, my dentures are no good for chewing. So at dinner time, my wife has her dinner, then I borrow her dentures, right? I borrow her dentures, yes, for the purpose. And then when I finished my dinner, I give my wife her dentures back.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes.
That's outrageous.
I know.
There are some things you shouldn't share.
I know.
Like toothbrushes.
I know.
You know what I mean? Why would you do that? That's disgusting.
I know. It's absolutely terrible.
So did they do it?
Well, he says it. Let's get to the end of this piece here. He says, the gentleman concerned, who was elderly, said a spare set would mean that for the first time in years, we could eat our meals together instead of having to eat them in shift as only one of our pairs of teeth work.
That's unbelievable.
Absolutely. He doesn't say whether he ever got round to it, but he is an emeritus professor of craniofacial biology at King's College London, so I'm sure he would have found a solution.
That's absolutely insane, because it's not just the fact that they're sharing their dentures, right? It's this farcical ceremony where every time they have a meal, one sits and eats their meal, and the other is just watching the meat getting hungrier and hungrier. Out then come the teeth. Are they dipping them in water or brine or antibacterial mouthwash? And what was the guy's name? Did you say it was Lister?
Linden. Professor Roger W. A. Linden, Emeritus Professor of Craniofacial Biology, King's College London. But, you know, funny, when I read that, I thought, dentures don't really exist anymore, do they?
No, not really.
Because a former colleague of mine, we started doing TV on Sky, and he thought one of his teeth was going to fall out. I mean, he literally had a loose and wonky tooth. And, you know, this was a breakthrough. We were doing the review of papers on Sky, which they don't do anymore, by the way. Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
Sky
they
don't do newspaper reviews anymore.
It's strange, isn't it?
I don't know why they cut that out, because I always thought that was one of the more interesting parts of the show, really. But anyway, he was terrified. Anyway, we had to get a considerable sum of money together, £15,000, you can't replace one tooth anymore. Nobody will do it. It's just not worth their while. They took the whole set of his top teeth out and replaced them with a brace with all his teeth, cost £15,000, and it fitted literally at the two sides of his jaw. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And so when he goes to get them serviced, they just snap them out. Do you see what I mean?
That's mad for one tooth.
For one tooth.
Well, if you needed one tooth replaced, you wouldn't have the whole lot taken out. I'd feel really uncomfortable about that.
No, the problem was they couldn't guarantee the same colour. They couldn't guarantee the same shape as the other teeth because he didn't look after his teeth. This guy was a big smoker and he blackened his teeth and teeth had been starting to rot and all that. Mm. They said, you better to do that. He then had ambitions to get the bottom set. And they just snap your teeth out. You could literally send your teeth in the post to your dentist to get them serviced and send them back if you had a spare set. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe that would be the future. You know,
that is the future. I'm sure that is the future.
Like, it's your own teeth. It's like, why would you have something that's sort of malleable and
absolutely.
Decay? I had a toothache the other day. Maybe the future will just be, as you say, you change your teeth like you change your pet four times.
I'm sure you do. So I had two teeth missing over a period of 20 years because they just rotted and they were taken out. I didn't have time to do them or get them done. Eventually, my dentist said, Mike, if we don't replace these teeth, your other teeth are going to move out and they're going to be disjointed because they're compensating for the gap. So I then went in, right, and it cost £5,000 to have a plug put in each of the gaps. But they had to leave it there for 6 months for the gum to grow around. And do you know what they did then? They simply screwed a tooth into the metal bolt.
Ooh, what did that feel like?
No, they didn't feel anything, because I had local anaesthetic.
Oh,
you know.
Okay, fine.
And when I say screwed in, they screw a peg in, and then they put the tooth on top of the peg. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, that's what you mean, yeah.
And so when they want to service it, they just take it off and screw it out again.
Do you think that dentistry is a form of cosmetic surgery? Where you and I live in Stockbroker Belt, Surrey particularly, you will get private dentists and NHS dentists.
Yes.
And I'm with an NHS dentist, although I don't go as often as I should. But the cost difference is absolutely ridiculous. And there are those that say, why should we have to put that on the NHS? Because it's effectively cosmetic surgery.
Yes.
Which I guess it is for a lot of things. But surely, you know, you have the birthright to have, as long as you look after them,
like
a decent set of gnashes.
It's like the birthright to have air in oxygen and air, and to be able to eat and be able to have a decent home. I agree. However, I can't afford to wait for time-wise NHS. And a basic filling recently, and I haven't had one for years, cost me £145.
Oh, that's about half of the cost of private.
Yeah, and the two teeth that I got in, £5,000 for the original peg, £5,000 on the finish, £10,000 for two teeth. When I got back to the flat, I mean, it had this most enormous row. You know, where have you been? And I said, what do you mean? I said, I went to get the newspaper. It doesn't take you 25 minutes to get a newspaper, half an hour or something, you know. I said, no. I said, I got the newspaper. I said, and I wanted to read the newspaper. I said, and I came back in, I'm talking to you, I can't concentrate, I just want to see. So I went in the pub and I had a couple of drinks. You don't want me, you know, you don't want me for company and all that. I mean, we were very young, sort of 18, 19 years of age, but that is the individualism that I crave as a male. So I don't know whether Wayne Rooney does.
Well, maybe it's the same sort of thing, but at a different level. I mean, it sounds to me like you dodged a bit of a bunny boiler there, if you don't mind me saying, because, I mean...
Well, I mean, that's a bit unkind. We don't have to get together for 4 years altogether.
Oh, okay.
And was the love of my life. But, funny enough, you should say that, I realised that if I was going to progress in life, I had to do it without the incumbent. That's all I can say. Without... I'm not going to say baggage, that sounds rude, but I had to be able to move very quickly and freely wherever I could.
A bit like James Bond.
Because I could go out for an evening, having had a cigarette all day, have a few drinks, and then sit down for dinner, and then have 10 cigarettes for the rest of the evening, and then not have another cigarette for 2 or 3 days. Perfect. Doctors had doctored, they weren't even doctors.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.